Parshas Lech Lecha. What we're going to do is, we explained last week, Noach HaMisushalach, if you guys remember a little bit, what they were all about was about his Hispodidus. They had their own yeshiva, Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver. Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver has been around since the Mabul. Since the Mabul started, this yeshiva has been around. Shem and Aver were very into Hispodidus. I've been there. The Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver is in Tzfat. I still think that it's a little bit more than a dream. I had to daven mincha and it was 1:45, and I kept asking around, is there anybody that has 1:45 minyan? Anybody have a 1:45 minyan? And they said Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver. I'm like, okay. That didn't help me much. Till eventually, like I found out, somebody pointed me out the place. It's a little cave. You have to go up from the shuk. There's a little stairway that leads you up. Then you go around to like basically a U-turn, and you go down the steps, and down the steps will lead you into a cave. Inside that cave is the Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver. I had no idea where I was at first, but eventually I found out, and there was there were two parts that were locked up and everything. I took a picture of the mikveh that was there, dirtiest mikveh you've ever seen, but it hasn't been used in 2,000 years. They apparently found it about 25 years ago, and they kept it a little bit secret so that it could excavate. They have found, so they say, the kever of Shem Be'Aver. It's inside. It's a good thing I wasn't a Kohen when they told me to go inside. And they, they didn't allow me to go in. I offered the guy $100. I was with three other guys. I offered the guy $100 to be able to go inside, unlock the door for me. Wouldn't allow me in. But that was the Yeshiva of Shem Be'Aver. Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver was all about his bodhidus. Being on your own, learning on your own, doing your own thing, and improving yourself to a level where you are the greatest person that you can possibly imagine. But not to go up to other people and help out other people. In fact, going up to other people is only going to bring you down. We're going to give a vote in next week's parsha. Avraham Avinu was unbelievable because he was brought down. But that's not the way Yeshiva Shem Be'Aver worked, and that's not what Shem and Noach were all about. It was all about themselves, and that's why Noach couldn't daven for everybody else. It was more than self-rationalization, and it was a way of the world. It's the way for B'nai Noach. But Avraham Avinu did something completely different. Avraham Avinu improved himself to the point where he was able to go to other people and help them out and try to bring them up to a certain level. So let's bring about the Midrashim. The Midrashim says this is brought down by everyone. There's a sefer on Midrashim written by Eisenstein, by this guy by the name of Eisenstein. It's called Otzer HaMidrashim. This is also quoted down by the Miyam Loez. You'll see it around in other Midrashim. Bits and pieces of it you guys have heard when you were little kids and everything. The first Midrash is like this. Nimrod had a dream. In this dream, one night, he saw himself flying in the sky, all happy, ruling over the entire world. All of a sudden, four stars from four corners of the sky came and started to chase him right after where he was. He started to run away. They came after him, tackled him, and then knocked him down. And then he found himself standing right by a massive fire. Out of the fire came a big man with a long beard. The man came out with a sword, referring to Avraham Avinu. He didn't know that at the time. Nimrod immediately started to run away. Avraham Avinu took an egg and whipped it at him. The egg turned into a river when it hit his head, turned into a massive river. And as he was running, his army that was with him, everybody that was in his army died and all passed away. Everything. He started to run with three of the guys that remained from the army. He looked toward them, and every single one of those three guys looked exactly like him. It was another Nimrod, so there were four Nimrods running together. The river that used to be an egg turned back into an egg, hatched, gave birth to a chicklet. The chicklet came up to Nimrod and poked him and pierced him in the eye. That's when he woke up.
Wow.
And then said, no more pistachios before I go to bed. You know, the pistachio ice cream is just not going to happen anymore. So afterward, after he had that dream, he ran up to his astrologers and everything, and he asked the astrologers, what do you guys think? They said, whack. They said, like, you got to lay off the acid. But to be honest with you, what we're going to tell you is that, look, there must be a person that's going to be born. Somebody's going to be born within the next coming up month who is going to give birth. Somebody's going to be born who is going to eventually destroy you. So you have to watch out and get rid of these kids. So Nimrod did, what do you want me to do? How can I get rid of all these kids? So he told him, the way to get rid of everybody, the way to get rid to make sure that it happens is to kill every child that's going to be born. Just like Paro. Oh, it's very good. So what he did, though, was a very, very smart thing. What he did was he set up that all the women who are going to be pregnant in his kingdom, he made sure that they would all go to this one place, this one big house, and there would be midwives there, and each one would get a bed, and whenever they were in their ninth month of pregnancy, they'd all have to go there, lie down on one of the beds, and then eventually they would give birth. If they gave birth to a girl, then everybody would be so happy, they'd give them gifts and everything would be good. If they gave birth to a boy, they would immediately kill the boy, chastise the woman for giving birth to a boy, and make sure that it never happened again.
How did they know from the dream that
60,000 boys were killed. Don't ask me how. I'm not an astrologer, and I wasn't the guy who was there. But either way, 60,000 boys were killed. I doubt it. Come on, girls. What are they good for? I'm joking. I'm not so much. But 60,000 boys. 60,000 boys were killed because of this whole thing within the month. After that, you got to remember, this is before Migdal Bavel. So all the people were together. Everybody was together because the tower wasn't done yet. So everybody was basically in the same area. So he was able to gather everybody together. Amaslai was married to Terach. Terach, the father of Avram. She was newly married. They had just gotten married to one another. So Terach knew, being the chief advisor of Nimrod, that Amasa was probably going to give birth to a child. So he waited a couple months and then looked at her and realized she was pregnant, that she did have a stomach. So he went up to her and said, "You're pregnant, aren't you?" And Amasa said, "No, this happens to me every year. I have a crazy stomach pain. My stomach starts to swell up." And she lied because she was afraid. So Terach said, "Come on, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard before in my life." And he put his hand onto her stomach. And as soon as he put her hand on her stomach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nes, and the baby went either up or down into another part of the body. And he put his hand, and he didn't feel anything there. It was a flat stomach. So he put his hand off, and immediately the stomach swelled up again. Put his hand again, it went away. He said, "What in the world's going on?" She said, I'm just sick. I don't know what to tell you." So Terach said, "I have absolutely no idea what this is. It must be a crazy sickness. I've never heard of this before." So he said, "Okay, fine." She got bigger and bigger, and every time he tried putting his hand on top of her stomach, each time Avraham Avinu went the other way, somewhere around. So Masla, eventually, in the seventh month, she knew she was about to give birth. She didn't want to give birth in front of everybody because she knew the baby would be taken away. So she ran to a cave in the middle of the forest. She went into this cave, and she gave birth to the kid inside the cave. And of course, a light lit up the entire cave. So Amasa said, "Look, I don't know who your God is, but there must be a God who wants you to be born for all this stuff to happen to you. So listen, I can't take care of you. If I bring you back, they're going to kill you. I'm going to leave you here. Let your God take care of you." I don't know how any mother could do this, but that's what she did. She went away, she ditched the baby, and she went back to her house, Amaslai did, and Avram stayed inside the middle of the cave crying. Gabriel the Malach was sent down, Nahor and Haran were born later. But later on, Gabriel was sent down, and he used his two fingers. Out of one finger, he was able to feed him, he was able to feed him milk, and out of the other finger, he was able to feed him honey. So both those fingers went inside his mouth, and he had the milk and the honey. I know this was somebody said earlier. Apparently not. But milk and honey was given over to this baby. And Avraham Avinu grew to be an extremely strong, big baby. And by the age of 3, he was already a big, strong guy. And at that point, that's where he started to realize what things were going on. So Gabriel left him, completely left him. And Avraham Avinu went outside, looked out, and he saw the sun in the sky. And he said, "Oh, that must be the God who's in charge of the entire world." But then he saw the sun slowly going down, setting. And he said, "Okay, I guess it's not God. I'll see you later, God." And then a moon came up. And the moon came up, and he said, "That must be God. That must be the one in charge." But then the moon set. And he said, "Okay, I guess that's not it." And then the stars came out. And he realized, "Oh, there must be hundreds of gods." But then the stars went away, and the sun came back. And he's like, "Okay, there's got to be someone who's in charge of everything. Got to be someone who's in charge of everything." And he realized that there was a god. Amaslai, meanwhile, by 3 years, she had gotten enough guilt that she decided, "Okay, I'm going to go visit him again." So Amaslai came back, and she went and visited the cave and saw. She thought that she found these bones or something. Nothing was there. She said, "Oh my gosh, my baby was eaten. I can't believe it." She went away, and she found a guy standing by the river wearing a fig leaf standing by the river. She said, "Okay." She said, "Hi, have you seen a baby?" He said, "Who leaves a baby in the forest?" So she said, "Look, you have to understand." She told him the whole story. So Avram said, "How do you know that has Nimrod stopped doing this, or is he, continuously killing babies?" So she said, "No, as soon as I gave birth, a couple days later, Nimrod stopped killing all the babies, and now I have two more sons, Haran and Nahor, Nahor and Haran. So now I come back to go get my first son." So Avram said, "How could you leave a baby?" And, giving her the guilt trip, the Jewish guilt trip and everything. She's like, I'm sorry, whatever. And Avram finally said, "What would, look at me. I am your son. I'm 3 years old. I was born. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped me. Can't you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. He's created the world. He did this. And he tried to convince her that there was HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, but there's one God. So Amasla looked at him and said, I can't believe this. My husband's an Avodah Zarah seller." So she ran back to Terach. Terach, being the chief advisor of Nimrod, realized that that dream had finally come true, that the prophecy had really come true. So Nimrod went ahead and said, "All right, we gotta take care of this right now." Called in all his chief advisors to an emergency meeting and said, "What should we do, guys?" So they all said, "Get a huge army and fight him right now before he gets stronger." you know, before he gets any stronger, this is what he's like at 3. You can imagine what he's going to be like at 10. So he gathered 10,000 people together, 10,000 warriors together, and he sent them out to the river. And they were all sent out to go chase after Avram. Avram saw them coming and said the famous tefillah of Ana Hashem Hoshia Na. Immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down a massive cloud, as well as confusion, to go down in front of the people. It went on the 10,000 soldiers, and they started going crazy, not knowing where they were going. Started hitting each other, trying to get themselves out of there. 5,000 people were dead. Ouch. 5,000 people were dead. 5,000 people were dead altogether. And after those 5,000 people were dead, the 5,000 people that were left went all the way back to Nimrod. And as they came back to Nimrod, they said to Nimrod, look, we don't know what happened. 5,000 people are dead. We don't know. We have no clue. Nimrod said, I don't want to deal with this whatsoever. Let's go. We're moving everybody over all the way back to Babel. They didn't live in Babel yet. We're moving everyone to Babel. I don't want to have to deal with this kid. So they all moved to Babel. And meanwhile, Avraham Avinu stayed right there. He decided to go from city to city teaching people about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He wasn't too successful because he was still 3 years old and he still didn't know the ways of the world, and he would go up to people and instead of going like the little signs, the world is coming to an end, he just said like, don't you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And obviously people didn't really want to believe him, but he did get a couple people here and there. He was able to get little people. No, he still had, you know, he looked like an older kid, but he was still a kid. He still came out. Either way, so he grew up a little bit. Totally different from Shem and Noach. He spent a couple years in jail. There were things all over the place. I'm assuming he got clothes eventually. Mm-hmm. And then by the age of, we don't know when this happened exactly. Could be by the age of 48. Could be by the age of 55. It mistama happened before the Tower of Babel, but we have absolutely no idea. What happened was he came back to Terach and decided that the best thing for him to do would be to be with Terach and Amasai and take the people who are going into Terach's shop who was selling idols and make sure that they wouldn't buy the idols, get rid of the idols completely. So what he did was he went into the shop, and that's where the famous stories come out, and everybody remembers this from kindergarten, where he smashed all the idols and he gave the big hammer in the hands of the big idol. And I'm waiting for my daughter to come home with this. I remember last year she only knew half the story. This year I want to get the whole story from her, you know? But like, came down and the big idol was standing there, and Terach said, well, they don't talk. And Avram said, if they don't talk, how can you possibly worship them? And obviously, you know, and everyone's like, oh, hypocrisy. So he went back to Nimrod. He pulled Avram over to Nimrod, and Nimrod said to him, listen, why don't you believe in the fire? So Avram said, why should you believe in fire? Believe in water that extinguishes the fire. He said, okay, believe in the water. Make the water your god. He said, why not believe in clouds? Because water turns into clouds. He said, okay, worship the clouds. He's like, okay, why not believe in wind? Because the wind pushes the clouds. He said, okay, but believe in wind. He said, okay, but why not believe in the mountain that stops the wind from blowing? He said, okay, then believe in the mountain. And he kept going and going and going until Nimrod was like, all right, I'm tired. Fire. Either I believe in fire and you don't. I'm going to throw you into a fire and we'll see whose god is stronger, mine or yours. So Avraham Avinu accepted it upon himself. He said, I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what God wants me to do. He's willing to die for God. I'm sorry? No, absolutely not. Hashem had not appeared to him yet. There was nothing. Although he did leave an enlightened life, so to speak. He realized the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and everything. Yeah.
How did he know the Yudkei Vovkei?
The An Hashem Hashem.
I don't know if he actually knew the shame, or if it was something that he made up himself. They say that Avram was the first person to call him Adonai, as in my master. And he was the first person to say such a thing, so maybe he used that word instead of Ana Hashem, as in Yudkei Vavkei. I don't know. I can't answer that question. That takes us back to where Avram came from. I don't know. I can't answer that question. But he came along, and he came to this point. Now, how did the Kitchen Ish happen? Kitchen Ish was awesome. Nothing like you've ever heard. Okay. Nimrod sends a message to anybody who's within 3 days' travel of Ur-Kasdim. So that anybody who's within 3 days of travel, come and bring all the wood you can possibly find. Bring wagons of wood. Bring every little bit of wood you can find. Bring it with you. And take everything with you, come to Ur-Kasdim as soon as you possibly can. He made a massive, massive bonfire. Took all the wood they could possibly find, put it all together into one thing. At this time he was much older, possibly 48. So at this time he put everything together, and then he made a little pit in the ground, in which it was sort of like where the wood would sit on top, and then he put wood all around, and then he took metal things all around, so he made it like a kitchen, like a regular kiln, like a big oven, and he left it open on the top so that people could see from the top. They made grandstands so that people would be able to see down from the top inside, and they'd be able to see everything going down inside, and he made it extremely hot. They made it burn for 3 days straight, to the point where anybody who came anywhere near that fire would be burned to death.
What happened to the original fire that they threw people in if they didn't agree?
Very good. With the Migdal Bavel from last week, week. According to that, then it was the same fire. I'm going with a different measure. Very, very good. Yeah, the same thing from last week. Yeah, they make the bricks from last week. That's a different thing. You have to say it's a different fire, or this was an improvement on that fire, making it bigger, 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 and bigger, and bigger. So now they had the problem. How are you going to get Avram Avinu inside there? So one guy grabbed Avram on one side, another guy grabbed Avram on the other side, and Nimrod said, "All right, send him in." They started bringing him toward the fire. As they brought him toward the fire, it was so hot, both the guys on the side both died. So they said, "All right, bring another two." So another two guys came along, and they both came by the fire. They both died again. Both died of the heat. Both died of the heat. And they melted, basically. They both melted down. So now, Nimrod said, "All right, another two guys." So the two guys are like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. We're not going out there. I think we should find another way of doing it." So the sultan came along. Little sultan comes along, dresses up as a person, and says, "Hey, if we can't throw them inside there with regular people, why don't we throw a catapult?" Oh, there was one other thing. And two guys came along, and they tried to throw Avram into the fire. But as soon as they were about to throw him inside the fire, little things of fire came out of the fire, grabbed them, and brought them inside. So now they were gone. So now, they didn't know what to do. Something came along and said, "Hey, why don't we make a catapult?" So they decided to make a massive catapult. They put it on the side. They put them down. They put Avram on one side. They smashed it down. Avram flew up and right inside the Kishon Esh. I don't know how they knew physics or geometry that well that they were able to figure out that it went right inside. But they ended up doing it. Yeah, they just keep doing it. But there were grandstands on the side where, oh, I forgot to mention, there were 900,000 people because everybody came from all around, from all the cities all around. So you have 900,000 people watching and everything. Who knows? Who knows how the Colosseum be made? They all made it. So Avram Avinu was thrown inside the Esh. Then the craziest thing happened. He landed inside the fire, landed on top of the wood. As he landed on top of the wood, all of a sudden, flowers started to grow exactly where he was, and grass and everything. Now, you know, bent down to smell a flower. He starts walking around. He's like, and he starts walking around as if he's in a regular garden. Massive fire going around all around him. Then all of a sudden, Michal, Gabriel, and Rafal come inside. And Avram's like, "Hey guys, how you doing?" Michal, Gabriel, and Rafal say, hey, Avram, how's everything going? And they all came along,
They sat down in the grass.
He didn't know about Gabriel from beforehand. No, he had never seen them before. I don't know how he recognized them, but they said, "We are Malachim, we have come to be with you inside the fire." They sat down on top of the grass, and they just waited. They talked with one another. How's everything going? How's God doing? I guess one of those situations where you don't really know what to say. Yeah, like sort of. But everybody's watching this, shocked. What in the world is going on in there? Nimrod said, "It's not Avram. It's not him. It's Haran. Haran, who's the younger brother of Avram Avinu, was a tremendous magician." And he said, "It must be that Haran is the guy that did it, that Haran is the one that's keeping him alive, and Haran, who's the tremendous magician, did it." So Machlokas Midrashim, what happens over here? The Onis Menuziel says, a massive bolt of lightning came down from Shemaim and hit Haran right there. Haran died, and everybody's like, "Oh, I guess not him." That's number one. Why did Haran deserve it? You'd have to answer that Haran was on Nimrod's side according to that pshat, and thus he was killed. The other pshat that came about was that Haran was indecisive. He didn't know whether to be on Nimrod's side or Avram's side. But God hates an indecisive person. So they went to Haran and said, "Are you on Avram's side still?" And he said, "Yes, I'm on Avram's side." So they thought that Haran was the magician who was doing all this. They took Haran, they threw him inside the fire, they catapulted him inside the fire. His body remained perfectly fine, but his insides were all destroyed. Because he decided on the outside to be with Avram Avinu, but on the inside he still had his doubts. So his entire inside of his body melted completely, so that on the outside he looked like a regular person. But his innards were completely burnt. He was able to walk outside of the fire, and he landed in Terach, his father's lap, and he died while sitting on Terach's lap. Thus, Alpnei Terach Aviv, that he died on top of Terach's lap. That's the pshat on the pasuk. Anyway, Avram is still inside there. Finally, they realize there's something going on over here. All the people started quickly like chanting, like, Avram. From, you know, sort of like Rudy, you know, like did the whole thing, like trying to bring it up, and they all started chanting his name together until Nimrod realized he lost. He completely lost. He looked like a fool. So he called out to Avram and he said, "All right, you win. Come outside of the fire. Come outside of the fire." So Avram said, "Promise me that you're never going to try this on me ever again." And Nimrod said, "I promise I will never do anything like this ever again. Please come outside of the fire and come out and let me be able to help you." And the fire stopped completely. Nimrod was able to come outside of that fire. I'm sorry, Avram Avinu was able to come outside of the fire. As soon as he came out, all the people around him said, "Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim." They yelled out that shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem hu Elokim, Hashem hu Elokim, like what we do on the end of Yom Kippur when they realized that God was the actual God. They all had a tiny little bit of Ruach HaKadosh, and Nimrod even himself said, "I admit there must be a God inside this world." Within the year, Nimrod went back on it. And he continued being the same guy that he was before. He decided he was done. He was done. Maybe not fire. believed in himself, made himself into his own God. I have no question that the reason why is because, look, this type of a miracle is an unbelievable thing, but it doesn't last within you for that long. It's something that affects you for a couple minutes, but then after a couple minutes, all of a sudden it just leaves you. It's gone. It's completely gone. It's unfortunate, but that's the way we are whenever any of these things happen. I've always said that if clouds would spell out in the sky, I am God, worship me, you're always going to hear these meteorologists that come on the radio, and they're just like, you'd never believe the cirrus clouds hitting the cumulus clouds together today, and that type of an effect will cause, and making like a whole big thing in science, how is possible for clouds to be able to make actual letters in the sky? There's no way for a Kadosh Baruch Hu to be able to come down to this world and for him to prove it to us to the point where there's not anybody who doesn't have any sveikos. And even when you do that, for that 1 second when you say Hashem Elohim, how long does that last for? 5 minutes later, you think to yourself, did I really see that or did I just dream?
It would defeat the purpose if he could prove it.
Very good. Why wasn't this mentioned in the Torah? Nothing. Not one word was mentioned in the Torah. Ur Kasdim was the only thing mentioned in the Torah. That's it. That they left Ur Kasdim. Why not say this Medrash? What's the problem? This is a crazy nace. So the Ramban answers the question. You know what he says? Torah only mentions Nisim that were Nigla in front of everybody. There were crazy Nisim that everybody realized it was an unbelievable nace. Like the Makos in Mitzrayim. But it's not going to mention this. It's not a nace Nigla. To which everybody asks, well, what could be more of a nace Nigla? 900,000 people are watching from grandstands. Avraham Avinu was walking around in the middle of a garden with Malachim, and then he comes out of a fire that was eating up everybody around. How could that not be a nace Nigla? Unreal answer. You guys might have seen Rabbi Lehrfeld, the Rosh Yeshiva of Beis Yisrael, who was here not too long ago. He said this answer not too long ago. I've heard the answer before from him, but it always affects me a little bit. It's this type of an answer. Listen to this answer. It says, two different types of people. You can't compare anybody to the others. Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov, to the point where the Ramban, who says that there was a chet on Avram's part by saying, Bama Eda, how will I know? And he got punished to get 400 years. Rav Moshe Feinstein in the Drush Moshe in Chelek Beis says, it's usher to say such a thing, and the Ramban must be, it was written by one of his Talmidim Tolim, must be written by a Talmud who made a mistake. There's no way the Ramban wrote that Avraham Avinu did a chet. There's no such thing. You can't imagine the Avos doing a chet. Doesn't mean a chet. There's no such thing as a chet by the Avos. No such thing. You can't imagine it by the Avos. The Avos are on a level that's beyond us. What that means, you could say that, Rav Moshe didn't want to. But what that means is that what is nature for us, what's natural for us, and thus supernatural things cannot happen. If anything crazy would happen, that would be a nes nigla. If by me, all of a sudden, the table would start floating in the air and start running around and whatever and start doing something, that would be a nes nigla. By Avraham Avinu, that's normal. The same HaKadosh Baruch Hu that makes the fire burn can make the fire not burn. By Avraham Avinu, it's Pashit. Avraham Avinu he defines what nature will be. He was a great enough person to define what nature will be. This isn't a miracle. This is a new version of nature that Avraham Avinu was zocheh to be able to bring inside the world. It was natural. It was very natural for Avraham to bring that. He didn't know that. He thought he was going to be killed. But Hashem knew that Avraham Avinu was a great enough person that this was able to be done for him. That nature bends to him, not that he bends to nature. By Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim, what level of tumah are they on? 49th level of Tumah. They don't deserve any crazy miracles to happen for them. The fact that miracles happened beyond the bounds of reality, beyond the bounds of nature, that became an ace. That's already a huge ace. That's a huge miracle. That's why we have to mention in the Torah. But this, by Avraham Avinu, you don't need to mention in the Torah. It's not an ace. That's natural. That's nature. It's nature by him, but not by Bnei Yisrael. It's an awesome answer. Okay, the next thing is like this.
Not the burning bush.
HaNefesh Asher Asu Bacharan. I don't have that much time. I'm only going to go for another 5 minutes. HaNefesh Asher Asu Bacharan. If this doesn't float your fancy, I believe the phrase is, from 1965, then I really don't know what will. But HaNefesh Asher Asu Bacharan, it says, you like that? You like that, right? You like that. Tickle your fancy. Float your boat will also be inside there. Any way you want to put it. Pasuk He says, they went Avikach Avram Asar Yishuvetz Lo Ben Achivetz Koruchush Masher Achoshuvetz Nefesh Asher Asu Bacharan. The souls that they made in Charan. Rashi says, the Gerim. That they made souls in Charan, what that means is that they improved people and they made people into Gerim. Says the Midrash Rabbah, well, it can't be that he created them, because you could gather all the chachamim in the world and try to put a nefesh inside a gnat, inside a little fly, and they wouldn't be able to do that. So there's no way that it was creation. But that's got to mean that there was a havamina, that there was a thought to say that that means that he created them. And the Tiferes Yonas from Yonas and Ibshit says it's Pashit. Yeah, nefesh also b'charan. Yeah, they created people in Charan. He said it's Pashit. Yeah, it's Pashit. Why is it so Pashut? Where does that come from?
Cool.
So there's a couple things you got to know about golems, about making people. So the first answer is like this. The reason why this has to be so, the reason why the Bereishis Rabbah is most probably right, is because, says the Marsha, well, first there's a Gemara, Sanhedrin, and Samachayim with Beis, I'm sorry I don't have a Sanhedrin on me, but Samachayim with Beis, Rava Ivri Gavra. Rava created a guy. He created a guy and sent him over to Rabbi Zera. So Rava created a guy, sent him over to Rabbi Zera. So he made a golem, sent him over to Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Zera conversed with him, talked with him for a little bit, didn't talk back, didn't say anything back to Rabbi Zera. So Rabbi Zera said, Mechavroi ato, you must be from one of my friends, go back to the land that you came from, took out his knife, and shechted him. So lots of questions come out from this Gemara. Number one, how do you create a guy? That's number one. Number two, you can shecht somebody who doesn't talk to you? You can go around shechting deaf mutes? Go up to them and just be like, oh, da-da-da-da? You can't do that. I would doubt that that's going to be mutter. What in the world came about over here that all of a sudden he was able to do such a thing? So, the Marshal says, you can create a person. There's ways of doing it through Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah was written up by Avram Avinu. It came originally by Avram Avinu. He created certain things. And we'll see that Avram Avinu did do such things later on. We will come up with some things later on. However, there's differences. You can create a goof, you could create a body, and you could create a ruach, which is the spirit within him, something that'll make him move. But a nefesh, that you can't do. You'll never be able to put a nefesh inside his body. Thus, the reason why we speak, the reason why we're better than animals, is because we have a nefesh. We have a neshama, a real neshama. They have a nefesh. It's a nefesh bahamis, they call it. They have a lower type, but we can't put that nefesh inside a regular golem. We can't do that. We can make a goof. We can make a ruach, but there's no way to make a nefesh. So says the Marsha, the reason why Rava wasn't able to do, the reason why Rava wasn't able to make a man that was able to speak, is because you can't make a nefesh. So the nefesh, Asherasu B'charan, in our pasuk, that they made a nefesh, impossible. Avinu couldn't make a nefesh. And because he couldn't make a nefesh, must be that what are we talking about? Gerim. Rav wasn't able to do it. So therefore, over here, he didn't have anything like it. Okay. Must have been that. Mishnah Berurah. Simin Nun Hey.
I can't make
there we
it.
Mishnah Berurah, don't worry. That's only the opinion of the Marsha. Simin Nun Hey, Sif Dalid in the Mishnah Berurah. Simin Nun Hey, Sif Dalid in the Mishnah Berurah says, if you want to join in a golem, it's at the very end of the Sif, if you want to join in a golem for a minion, he does not count the Chacham Tzvi has a Shal Tzvi, as he asks the question, can you add him in for a minion? Can he be the 10th man? He says at the very end, no, you cannot add him on for a minion. Why? Because he cannot speak. But he goes into the whole thing that a golem cannot be added on for a minion. Question is why? So you look at the Chacham Tzvi, the Shal Tzvi, the Chacham Tzvi, one of his main rayas is that Rebbe Gamliel one time needed a 10th man for a minion. And he had his servant Daru. So he knew that there's an Isser in freeing a slave. La'olam bam tavodu. There's an Isser asay in freeing your slave. But he knew that he would have to in order to have a 10th man for a minion. So he freed his slave. Daru became able to be a 10th man. And he was there. Says the Chacham Tzvi, if he could create a person and make a 10th man, he would have done that instead of being over on an Isser of la'olam bam tavodu. So it must be you can't create a person. Must be you can't create a person in order to join him for a minion. That even if you do create a person, he wouldn't be joined in for a minion. That's a very, very strange raya, right? But he does bring that down. But the Sidre Taros takes it. The Sidre Taros, the Reginer, goes on and says an unbelievable thing. We still have an answer why Rav Zera was able to kill him. You can say maybe Rav Zera was able to kill him because he's just an animal. You can't make a nefesh, so it's just like a goof and a ruach. That's not enough. That's not a real. But that's not a real person. This is just like an animal, and you can shech the regular animal.
You can kill an animal.
That's a din? That's halacha?
No, not supposed to. Are you not supposed to?
Hunting is awesome.
Yeah, so you can't just go up to. You can't just go up to animals and.
You're sure about that? Skin of the carpet, come on.
You sure about that?
There's no use.
Oh, so if there's a use, you mean there's going to be something. So if you can learn something from it, there'd be a reason to shut that. Says the Sidre Taros like this. The Reginer says the following. The Reginer says, okay, why was he able to kill him? If you're going to say because he couldn't talk, but then you'd be able to kill any deaf mute. If you're going to say because he wasn't born from a person, he wasn't born from a woman. If he wasn't born from a woman, is it mutter to kill other Marisha? Yeah. Other Marisha wasn't born from a woman. So maybe it's mutter to kill other Marisha.
Who would kill other Marisha?
It would be mutter, right? Who would, right? But could you, in theory, do it? Again, as we were saying before, Gemara is not about the actuality. It's about, in theory, would he be able to do it or not? What? Very good. Yeah, something like that. So is that true or not? So he says, no. It's something completely different. What he says is, you can make something based on what you have. Meaning, you have an amount of chachma within your body. What you can do is take your chachma, and what Sefer Yetzirah is making something in front of you, basically taking your brain, taking your chachma, taking everything about you, putting it inside that golem that's in front of you. Putting it inside the form that's in front of you. And that's really what the ruach is. Now, what the Reginer says, what he goes at and says is, what you could do is take yourself and put it in. However, the person is always going to be less than you. And every person we know, everybody has chatayim. Everybody has sins. And everybody's on a low level. Not on a very low level, but everybody's on a somewhat low level. So because everyone is on this somewhat low level, Rava, even though he's a tremendous person, was not able to create a person that was exactly like him. He's able to create a person, but it couldn't talk. Only four people could create a person that could talk. And that was Binyamin HaTzadik, Amram, father of Moshe, Yishai, father of David, Kilav, the son of David. Because those four people died without any sins in this world. If you don't have any chesronos, you have nothing wrong with you, then you could create a person who'd be exactly like you, and thus create a person that would even be able to talk. But if not, then you wouldn't be able to. So Rava was at a level down, hold on, we'll just finish it off and then whatever. Rava was able to create a person, but not one who was able to talk, someone who was just a little bit down low below that. So anybody else, if you didn't have a chesed, you would be able to, but not him. He wasn't able to. So it wasn't that he couldn't create a nefesh. Really, he could have created a nefesh. And really, Avraham Avinu maybe made nefashos. And that's a nefesh Rasu B'charan. However, it can only be somebody who is unbelievable, who nature bends to. Somebody like Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Binyamin, Kilam, Akilav, Yishai, or Amram, somebody like that. Anybody else who makes it, Reb Zera came along and shechted it and said, you're from one of my chaverim? One of my chaverim doesn't have permission to just stop make a golem, because it's not going to be a real thing. It's not going to have any use. It's not going to do anything. He said, nobody like you can make it. And he went out and shechted it to show everybody nobody could do such a thing. What, you want to brag? Oh, look, I just made a golem. Anybody can make a golem. You're Rava. You're one of the later Amorayim. You don't think that Tanayim can make it? You don't think that the people before the Tanayim can make it? You don't think the Nevi'im, Nadrik and Segedola? And yet nobody did it. Why didn't they do it? Must be. There's a reason why you can't do it. Because you won't be able to come out with somebody perfect. And if you can't come out with somebody perfect, there's no purpose to it. Except for somebody like Avraham Avinu. And thus he gets an Nefesh Rasu B'charan. All right, guys.
Wait, didn't it feel
same
terrible?
Same topic of last week.
That's a great.
Didn't feel terrible?
All right, we'll stop with that.